continue on this morning in Ephesians 4. We've been looking at this passage for a few weeks as it is rich in helpful dialogue about the church. We're going to focus this morning on the last several verses of this section as we explore the centrality of truth in the church. This passage of Scripture says that a believer is called to maturity in their Christian faith. Now, earlier in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians 2, Paul writes that though we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. It is by grace you have been saved. Christians must be born again. But as Paul's letter continues, his argument goes forward to make clear that even as we are born again as spiritual infants, infants are not to stay infants. We need to grow up into maturity. And it is the church that will mature believers. The church, as a bearer of truth, is the place where we build each other up, growing one another in love by true knowledge of the Son of God. Further, this passage calls us into unity regarding our faith. There is one faith and one body, and as Paul makes clear at the end of chapter 1 in this letter, this one body is the church. Let's read together. We'll start at verse 11 and go through verse 16. This is from Ephesians chapter 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, illuminate this word in our hearts this morning. Bring us to maturity. Let us know that that is our call, to become mature. Let us not be stuck in infantile faith, but continue to grow so that we might go about doing the work of building one another up in love. Let us speak the truth in love and grow to be more like Jesus. In his name we pray this morning. Amen. One of my favorite questions for kids is, what do you want to be when you grow up? I like the question because I get a wide variety of answers, but also because you get a window into what values that child is exploring in their own world. Forbes magazine did a short study of a kindergarten classroom asking this very question, and they found that out of 33 children, 7 of them wanted to be superheroes, 3 wanted to be princesses, and others a variety of astronauts, firefighters, athletes, doctors, etc., etc. Well, you might say you can't be a superhero, but this is not true. You can fight for good, you can catch bad guys, you can even wear a cape if you want to. In the mind of a child, all things are true and possible, and they are correct. Kids want to be superheroes because they think good over evil is a valuable thing. They want to get that game-winning hit in the World Series because glory is awesome, and it is triumphant, and it's great. They want to help others, and yet they don't really know how to do all of these things. They imagine it, and their dreams are riddled with truth. I like the writer S.D. Smith. He writes a lot about children and about family life. He says this, "My son plays happily. He He flits easily between two worlds, the world that is and the world he imagines. His conversation assumes the extraordinary. His play is an adventure in make-believe. How much like faith? Perhaps nothing is more like faith than play. It is no great surrender to say faith is like play. If in a young boy's imaginative play he sees himself brave and trustworthy in the good fight, then we are glad if he grows into a man who is like that in the real world, quote unquote. Likewise, if a little girl tenderly cares for a baby doll, devoting herself to its care while at play, then grows up to become a loving, tender mother, we are happy, and we should be. I call that good. So child's play is braided into the lifelong cords of faith. Part of life is anticipating, by faith, the right-side-up world. And it is deadly difficult when it feels like the ceiling's coming down all around us, as it does sometimes for us boring adults. My little Zoe spent some evenings last fall in our driveway jumping as high as she could to try and catch the moon. We took turns jumping to try and grab it. It was the cutest thing I've ever witnessed. But we did not succeed. Watching her do this was just fun, but it's delightful to see a child engaging in this kind of play, which is very real to her. It's fine for her to find this a reasonable task. Now, if she is 16 and she still thinks she can jump up and grab the moon, we may have a problem. She will grow up and learn about the distance between the earth and the moon. She will do so because she encounters truth. So too do the children who want to be superheroes and princesses. They find out what is true. And this doesn't crush their dreams. It shouldn't crush their dreams. But as they learn more about these occupations and characters in stories, they can actually develop even more fulfilling dreams because they are now shaping them based on truth. And who is there to help them, guide them on their way? This is done in the home or by good teachers, molding children to hold on to these values under the auspices of truth. So Zoe may want to learn more about space travel. She might develop a great knowledge of the solar system and want to explore God's creation with a telescope. This is no accident, then, that this is the metaphor that Paul gives us in this passage, that we too, in our faith, shall grow up and not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but rather grow up by knowing the truth. And we too, just like children, have to have that system to help us to grow up in truth. This doesn't crush our dreams by learning about what is true, but always helps us to understand a reality that is actually beyond our wildest imaginations. We don't just figure these things out on our own. We are to build one another up. We are to grow with one another by speaking the truth in love. We are to grow into one unified body of mature believers. Now, we all know what happens when children are asked to grow up way too fast. Sometimes you see situations where children don't have that system in place. They are called to be the parents. Some of us saw that when we were in Brazil this past summer. And it is a tragedy when they are made to grow up without those helpful guides to show them the truth, and they don't feel at peace in their own world. It's also a great tragedy when children don't grow up at all. When they're never forced to reckon with the truth, when they're never faced with the realities of their world and able to own it on their own. So too, like us, what a shame when we don't grow up because we're not faced with the truth of our world, the truth of our own sin and our own depravity, and the truth of what Jesus has given us. We must hold on to that truth of the Christian gospel. There are core truths to be believed in the Christian faith, and there is real knowledge, as this passage tells us, of the Son of God that must be believed. When we start to loosen the reins on truth about Jesus, it is too easy to lose one's way. we may grow zealous over social justice causes or zealous about one's own spiritual enlightenment. But as one theologian put it, zealousness is the accelerator and truth is the steering wheel. Other times, we want easy believism. We don't want to face tough realities. Too often, we want that which is easiest. We want the comfortable. We want to stay in infancy because sometimes facing the truth is hard. C.S. Lewis says this about the difference between truth and comfort. If you look for truth, you may find comfort in the end. If you look for comfort, you will get neither comfort nor truth, only soft soap and wishful thinking to begin, and in the end, despair. We are to grow up, but we are to grow up as people shaped by truth. And this happens in the church. We are given the church to build one another up in truth. Let's look at our passage here. Paul writes, I'm looking at verse 12, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Back in verse 5, here in chapter 4, it's written even more clearly, there is one faith that Paul talks about. Notice that Paul doesn't encourage followers to reach a kind of faith that works for you. And he didn't write something like, just strive to reach your own potential. There is instead unified truths of the Christian faith. In the original language, too, the definite article is in place here, and that's significant. Paul is referring to a particular set of beliefs that make up what is clearly understood as a unified faith that is marked by this. And notice what comes next right here in verse 13. The knowledge of the Son of God. Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is the thing, then, that marks Christians different from any other system of belief or adherence. Do you know that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for the sins of his people and was resurrected on the third day? This understanding of the faith and true knowledge of the Son of God does not allow for a belief that all truth is relative and that motto that if it works, stick with it. These things are not available to us as Christian believers. We take those truths, those things that we know are true about our Savior, and those are the things that shape us, and we might grow because we know those things which are at the core of our Christian faith. Christians are a people who are made new in Christ and are shaped by true knowledge of the Son of God. We, like children, need to be fed the truth. We need to be shaped by good teaching. We need truthful teaching in our churches. We need rebuke at times. And we need encouragement and love from other Christians. Where do we receive these things? This is the church. This is the place, the bearer of truth. Now, Ephesus was a place where easy believism and going with what works was a popular theme. The Temple of Artemis, which you can read about in Acts 19, was not only the spiritual lifeblood of this place, Ephesus, but its center for commerce, the center for the arts, and even banking. And in Acts 19, you see Demetrius, who was a silversmith, he objects to this new truth, the way, as it's called in the book of Acts, the Christian faith, because it would wreak havoc on their economy. Here he is, a silversmith, and they make all of these idols to Artemis. But the truth is powerful. The truth planted seeds there, and the church there grew. Yet for believers there too, remember that in the book of Revelation, in the letter to the church in Ephesus, it says, you have abandoned the love you had at first. The call then is to repent and remember from where you have fallen. They needed to hear the truth in love. They needed that rebuke. They needed to hear the truth about themselves. And they are being shaped then by the truth, and they will grow up in their maturity. You all have had experience probably of listening to yourself on a tape recorder or some sort of recording device. It is a harrowing experience if you ever have heard that, because what do you say always? I don't sound like that. There's no way I sound that high and whiny. But here's the truth. You do, and so do I. Because when you hear yourself talk, you are listening through a distorted perspective. You are hearing vibrations from your own jawbone and other parts of your brain. So you are hearing a different sound than those around you. Those who hear you most clearly are those outside of yourself. The same is true often with how we think of ourselves. We tend to have a biased viewpoint about our own lives. And we need to hear from others. We need to heed the wisdom of others. Do not take lightly, then, the words in love given by others in the church. Do not take lightly the role of those who are called to shepherd you, because they see things in you that you don't see. Now, you might object here and say, well, that's easy for you to say. Here you are up there teaching us. But notice in our text that Paul includes himself in this charge. He says, until we all reach unity in the faith. He's including himself in this. He's saying, I need to hear truth and love. And we too, leaders in the church, need to hear your words, need to hear the truth spoken to those in love, because we are all growing up in maturity. And we are all not there yet. Paul gives a list here in verse 11 in our text of those who are equipped, who are called to service by Christ, to build one another up, ones who will speak the truth in love. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body might be built up. These are ones who will speak the truth in love into your life, whose knowledge of the Word of God and experience will help shape you and build you up into maturity. Now, also, we know this is a bit of a difficult knife edge to walk, speaking the truth to one another in love, because in our sin, we are tempted to do one of two things, and both of them are equally as dangerous. First, we have those who don't speak in love, but speak out of great pride and great gain in telling you what you've done wrong and how you need to improve. This is a temptation because we like to think of ourselves as doing pretty well and being one who is to guide others. But we are called to speak the truth in love. That means with gentleness, with respect of the other person, with great humility about our own sin. And then there's another mistake we can make, and that's not telling the truth at all, because we're all about the love, and we don't want that person to dislike us. This is often where I fall. We value others' opinion of us so highly that we don't want to do the hard thing of having that difficult conversation or speaking the truth even boldly from the Word of God because we're so afraid of what our culture might think about us. Both of those are great errors, to not speak the truth in love or to not speak the truth at all. But instead, this kind of teaching each other, growing each other up, and speaking the truth in love should be the type of experience where you hear the truth, you're faced with that stark reality, and at the same time, you know that these people care for you, have great dignity for your person. When we read the Word of God, we read some very difficult truths. We read, we are a sinner, and the things that we do that are good are still like filthy rags. And yet, he loves us so much. He cares for every individual in the church. He knows us by name. He cares about who we are, and he wants us to grow up in maturity. We are to seek guidance from one another. We're to seek counsel from those in the church. We are to grow up not only in our spiritual lives, but also in our thinking. As 1 Corinthians 14:20 tells us, brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. We are being renewed. We are new in Christ. We have new life, but we're also being transformed, not only in our hearts, but also in our minds. We're becoming more like Christ. We are being grounded in truth. We are to grow up based on the knowledge of the truth of the Son of God. Be transformed then by the truth of the gospel and take hold of it in your own life. Some of us will make the error of holding on too much to our own brokenness, being hit with that truth of our brokenness, the reality of our sin, without being shaped by the truth of God's renewing power in your own life. We need to grow up. We need to grow into the peace of Christ, which should define our life. And here's some great, great news about our journey to grow up into maturity. As this passage tells us, we are in it together. We are told that we are growing up into one body. Verse 13 here in our text tells us that we will reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What the original text in Greek tells us, instead of become just mature, it says you are becoming one man. It's a singular word for man there. And so instead of infants, we are becoming one person together. The ESV reads, you will attain mature manhood. But the image is of one body. It's of one cohesive unit working with one another in love. And we see here explained in verses 15 and 16, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. A true Christian will, one, uphold the truth, and will, two, love others in the process. But we need help with this mission. We need to build each other up in love. The image here is of the body. And if we know about the human body, we're learning more and more every day about what this amazing vessel does to keep us afloat, so to speak. So let's dive into the wonderful world of the pituitary gland, if we shall. The pituitary gland is about the size of a pea. It is very, very tiny, but it is quite mighty. It controls this: growth, metabolism, blood pressure, body temperature. That is an important little unit, so keep hold of it. And don't lose the little pituitary gland. Little parts of our bodies work together, and it works together to build up the whole body. And if something goes wrong with one of those little parts, we know that things can go vastly awry. The same is true of us in our body, in the body of Christ. Everyone works together in love. Everyone has a part to play in growing one another in Christ. And those little peas, our little church here on the corner of Amelia and Farallon, the individuals who are here, we matter. We are important to the growth of the body of Christ. We are connected then through Christians, not only Christians right now all over the globe, but Christians through the ages. And you might ask yourself, what do I have in common with a 4th century monk who lived in Egypt? And what do I have in common with a reformer that lived in the 17th century in Europe. Well, we have Jesus, and we have knowledge, true knowledge of the Son of God, and both of those experiences of those people help to inform Christian lives today. We look at that 4th century monk, we value their meditation of Scripture, we value the silence, and we look at the reformers, we look at their furious commitment to doctrine, to truth, and we learn from it. They are growing us up, and we too will wrestle with the truth of the Son of God, and our work, the things that we do, will matter to the kingdom as a whole, will matter to the whole body of Christ. And we know this to be true because we have a Savior who exhibited this perfectly, speaking the truth in love. At the cross, Jesus Christ took on truth of our sin. He took on a true reality, and that is that we have offended God by our sin, and that we need the Son of God to come and pay that penalty for us. And He has ultimate love. He had no sin. He had communion with the Father, and He left it for us. He took on the humiliation of this life. He became that man of sorrows for us, because He loved us so much. And He didn't let truth go. Notice that God's plan doesn't say, okay, well, I know that that is true, that I get offended by sin, and that I can have nothing to do with it, but I'm just going to let it go by, and everyone is okay. He doesn't do that because He's so committed to truth. And notice, too, how committed to love He is, loving us, that He would do the only thing that would make it possible for us to enjoy Him forever, and that is to send His own Son to die for us, to make the perfect sacrifice. So that should be our motivation. That's how we speak the truth in love to one another, because we know what's true about our own condition, and we felt the love of Jesus and what He's done for us. In the beginning of our time together, I asked, what do you want to be when you grow up, of our children? Well, many of you do various things now that you are grown up. Some of you are artists. Some of you are teachers. Some of you work with your hands. And you should know, and I hope you know, that your work matters in whatever vocation you choose, that the things that you do are valuable, and they actually help our world tremendously. So, too, this should be true of us in the church. You may think, I don't really have a place. I will come and I will sit and enjoy my life here in the church, but what do I really do? But I know from experience what you are doing, and I know that it matters. Some of you take meals to other people when they need a meal. Some of you sit with those who are sick, even when it's greatly uncomfortable for you to do so. You support missionaries with finances. You support the work that we do here in our community. You teach our children. The church is the place where you are growing, but you are growing other people up, and it is wonderful to watch. So I hope we will take that with us. Know that what you do matters tremendously, and know that this is the place where that work should be done, in the church. We grow one another up through speaking the truth in love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know what it means to feel love because You loved us so much. We know what it means to feel love because we've in some measure experienced it in our own lives. We know that it feels good, and that to show love to one another is a tremendous call for us. We also know that You are committed to truth. There are true things that You have revealed to us in Your Word. Let us never let go of those things in the church, Lord. Let us never let go of those things in our own growth, but let us always defend the truth and do so in love, but defend the truth with great fervor. Lord, be with us now as we go about living out lives as Christians and being in the church and knowing our role. Know that you love us so much. You would send your Son to die so that we too might grow and we might one day enjoy you forever. Amen.